finding morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get. And you wanna hear it straight.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, live from the studios of RBN here on the 16th day of December, 2005. Program airs Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., and that is, of course, Central Time. Many different ways in which to listen to this broadcast, AM, FM, shortwave, just like that song just said. Internet, rbnlive.com. If you're not bandwidth challenged, you've got one of those high-speed ditties out there, well, you can listen to us at a 32-bit feed rate, which is, well, almost broadcast quality. It's a lot better than listening to an 8-kilobit feed. Sounds something similar to, I'm sure, what Alexander Graham Bell probably heard when he first fired up his first telephone. At any rate, if you're bandwidth challenged, don't worry about it. I'm only picking on you. Some people cannot get high-speed internet where they live, and they're stuck with that dial-up modem. So we feel your pain out there. At any rate, welcome to the broadcast. I've got Dar Jamail on, and he'll be coming on in just a few minutes. And I had him on, what was that, Mr. Producer? Was that last week, a week and a half ago? Only had him on for about a half hour, I do believe. And he had a lot of commitments that day. But we got him back for a longer period of time today. And we'll open up the phone lines, of course, for him. And we're going to be talking about... we're going to be talking about Iraq, ladies and gentlemen, as if that hasn't been talked out. Well, from the talking head side, it has. From the PNAC people, from White House, from just about every other media outlet or governmental source, we've all heard the rah-rah speech. You know, people that are admitting at one time that, well, they weren't down with the Iraq war, but they voted for it anyhow and voted for the appropriations. Now they don't think it's a good idea. We should get out. But not immediate withdrawal, mind you. We just can't cut and run. That'll make us look like cowards, send the wrong message to terrorists around the globe, and on ad nauseum. Well, we're going to get the straight skinny here from Dar Jamail here in just a couple of minutes. On that, weary of the overall failure of the U.S. media to accurately report on the realities of the war in Iraq for the Iraqi people and the U.S. soldiers, Dar Jamail went to Iraq to report on the war himself, rather than getting it secondhand and trying to pick through their disinformation basket. His dispatches were quickly recognized as an important media resource, and he's now writing for the Interpress Service, the Asia Times, and many other outlets. His reports have also been published with The Nation, The Sunday Herald, Islam Online, The Guardian, and The Independent, to just name a few. Dar's dispatches and hard news stories have been translated into French, Polish, German, Dutch, Japanese, Spanish, Portuguese, Chinese, Arabic, and Turkish. And on the radio, Dar is a special correspondent for Flashpoints and the reports for, well, he also does Democracy Now!, which is what they're saying that they want for the Middle East. And you all know my take on democracy. That's the two foxes standing by the hen house deciding what chicken they're going to eat. We'll come right back on the other side. His website, by the way, is Dar Jamail, L-I-R-A-Q, darjamailiraq.com. We'll be right back.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Bright discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBM, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com. The store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Well, they're prowled in Iraq. The elections are going on. At least they are in the White House. But what is that going to mean? Does that mean that the American soldiers that have lost their lives there, the hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, is the death going to stop? Or is it going to escalate? And here's my follow-up question to that. Is the media going to report on it? You know, Bush came out the other day, in USA Today, on December 13th, just this past Tuesday, front page story, Bush puts deaths of Iraqis at 30,000. But, of course, that was their count since March of 2003. I have with me Dar Jamail. How you doing, Dar?
Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Well, it looks like the Iraqis have solved their problem. We got our way over there. We deposed Saddam Hussein, and they're well on their way to a flourishing democracy in Iraq.
That's right. Everything's great. I'm sure they'll be opening up McDonald's on every corner very soon. Things are going very well over there.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm watching this thing, and I'm just thinking to myself, they tried to install people over there in that government before, the interim government, and now the big elections are coming up. Dar, this is, where do you see this going here in the near future?
Well, it's really amazing to me that one couldn't make up a plot like this for a movie too much better, because I think that if most people in the United States would really read and pay attention and had information more available to them on the bigger networks, they'd know things like the fact that Iyad Alawi, who is the former interim prime minister of Iraq, is who basically the U.S. would be most thrilled to have power in Iraq. Iyad Alawi, he's an ex-CIA man, probably still a current CIA man. He's an individual that the U.S. backed in the mid-90s when he attempted to assassinate Saddam Hussein. That failed, and so now he's back in the political running, ideally for the U.S. to be the new strongman in Iraq. It's essentially out with the old. Try Saddam, have this show trial for propaganda purposes, and then install Alawi if possible. And that's what they're trying to do right now.
Well, and the trial over there, I'm probably jumping ahead of myself, but the trial over there is not going really well. They're desperately trying to hang Saddam Hussein, and they keep having problems. His defense attorneys keep ending up dead, or... there's contention in the courtroom. What's going on? What's the latest that you have on the trial for Mr. Saddam Hussein?
It's a very interesting trial, to put it mildly. It has been perceived almost as more of a charade to most Iraqis at this point because of the antics that Saddam Hussein and his colleagues have been able to pull in the courtroom. They've been interrupting defendants as they speak. They've been interrupting the judge and ordering him to do certain things for them, calling everyone names, spitting in the courtroom, laughing at people. And then now more recently, before the trial went into a break, Saddam Hussein decided he would boycott the trial because he did not feel it was legitimate, which actually is a statement agreed upon by most international watchdog groups regarding this trial, and even a UN spokesperson has said the same. And so the trial now is in hiatus. It will be resuming theoretically on the 21st. It was in recess for the so-called elections we just had in Iraq, but of course when it resumes, Mr. Hussein will not be present.
Well, he'll be in absentia. Well, that's the latest trend. If you've got somebody that's not cooperating, you just leave them in your jail cell. You give them a camera and a little monitor, and they can watch the judge from their little hidey hole. But these type of things, that would not fly here in the United States. I mean, you can't tell a judge here in this country what to do and what not to do. What are some of the inconsistencies that you see with this trial? Why are people thinking right now that this is just a sham trial?
Well, many of the things that you just discussed are exactly accurate. The fact that it's not being held in a neutral country, the people trying him are not neutral by any respects. We even have Ramsey Clark in there as part of the defense. He's walked out of the courtroom in protest at least one time so far. It's simply not to argue, and of course this argument gets turned around on people like me talking about a legitimate trial and things like justice and equal rights and this sort of thing. We get accused of, well, you like Saddam Hussein, you're defending him, which is absurd. It's not about Saddam Hussein. We're talking about, are we going to have a legitimate trial based on justice or not? And right now, that's exactly what we're not having. It's in Baghdad. There are people in the people prosecuting Saddam Hussein that are not neutral, nor is the situation neutral whatsoever. That's why international groups are calling for this to be moved at the very least up to Kurdistan so that it's in a safer location and ideally in some place like The Hague.
What do you perceive as the value of Ramsey Clark being in there as part of his defense team?
It's an interesting angle that it does lead it, in that I think it really does give Saddam's plea a little bit more legitimacy, to at least have it more attention paid to it by the international community, to have an American in there such as Ramsey Clark in there trying to assist in the defense of Saddam Hussein. I think it does add it at least a bit more credibility and bring a little bit more media attention to the argument being made by Saddam Hussein.
Well, Ramsey Clark, being a former attorney general, he's unless he's given up citizenship in this country, he's got to be making the White House a little upset about this.
Without a doubt. I think that's a very important point, and I think Mr. Clark's been bringing grief to the Bush administration for a long time, being a very outspoken critic of this whole invasion and the motives behind it. And now that he's in the courtroom working on the defense of Saddam Hussein, is just taking it another step, and it's a very important action that he's doing, and I hope that people recognize it for that, that this is about justice. It's about it's just as much about the crimes of the Bush administration and the people involved in that as it is about someone like Saddam Hussein, who someone like Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld has shaken hands with on two different occasions and supported during Saddam Hussein's worst atrocities.
Well, and that, I guess that is the basis here for this trial. What exactly is he charged with?
He's actually being charged for the death of, it's about 140, I've heard estimates 138, sometimes 140 Shia men in a village that were killed by members of his regime after there was an assassination attempt on Saddam Hussein by a group from that village. And so basically most of the men in this village at that time, or a large number of them, were wiped out by the Saddam regime, and that's one of the main aspects he's being tried for, crimes against humanity. And of course, if he is found guilty, he will be executed.
Well, crimes against humanity, and I find it interesting that we are over there. We've killed more innocent Iraqis. It wasn't done for more or less political motivation. I don't believe that the Department of Defense or the White House had plan to kill a bunch of civilians for political purposes. That is just, how should we say, the casualties of war. But if we were to look at this just on an observation level, just weighing one side or the other, I think the United States has killed more innocent Iraqis than Saddam Hussein ever imagined doing.
That's true. And if we look at estimates of how many Iraqis were killed by the regime of Saddam Hussein in over 25 years of dictatorship, almost 30 years of dictatorship, he was responsible for roughly the deaths of 300,000 Iraqis. And if we look at, for example, the Lancet report, which was released, it's a very prestigious medical journal in the UK, in fact, the most prestigious, and it released reports, a study conducted by members of that organization in Iraq, and the results were released a little bit over a year ago now, and at that time, there were 98,000 Iraqis killed. And many reasons, I argue that that number is far too low. One, it's already over a year out of date. Two, that study did not include areas of major combat operation, such as the Fallujahs and the Najafs, so as not to skew the survey. And three, in order to conduct a survey like this, one has to have a baseline. And the baseline years used prior to the U.S. occupation of Iraq were the last 2 years of the sanctions. The sanctions, when over a million Iraqis died. So I think when we take those three things into consideration, one could easily argue that that number might well be double that. So in less than 3 years of occupation, if we have almost 200,000 Iraqis killed, how does that stack up to 300,000 killed by Saddam in 28 years of dictatorship?
Well, and that many years, whether it be 28 or 30 years of a dictatorship, I'm a little taken aback by this, because Saddam Hussein is on trial over there for these deaths that he caused. And I think you said there were crimes against humanity, which I find rather fascinating itself. Anytime anybody wants to put on a happy face and an air of legitimacy going after somebody else, especially when their crimes are probably greater, but they're doing it for noble and just causes, or so they claim. But I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wait a minute. I remember Saddam Hussein's attorney at one time giving him the report when these elections, they tried these elections last year or tried to start him up, that 41-42% of the Iraqis would vote him back in as president or dictator, whatever they want to call him, over in Iraq. I'm finding this being a strange disconnect.
Well, that's a very good point, because yes, and again, I think as much of this can be attributed to the media bias regarding Saddam.
All right, we got to take this break. My guest today, Dahr Gamal. His website is DahrGamal. J A M A. ILIRAQ. DarJamailIraq.com. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of Choice Garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today, for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend Pure Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at calbendpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
A couple of days ago in USA Today, referring back to that front page story by Orrin Dorrell, Bush's estimate of Iraq deaths came in answer to a question about deaths of Iraqi civilians, military police, insurgents, and translators. Since the war began, it appeared to be the first time the administration has provided such a figure. Of course, Scott McClellan, his spinmeister, said Bush was citing public estimates and said there's no official government estimate. The White House offered no details on how the 30,000 died or even who killed them. Unofficial estimates vary. Bush's number roughly matches an estimate by Iraq Body Count, a research group that uses media accounts. Boy, there you go. How's that one for a clue, Dar? Let's listen to the media that's not giving us any details in the war, and let's try to come up with a death toll on that one. It goes on to say on Monday that count numbered between 27,383 and 30,892. That is far lower than the count in a 2004 study and published in the medical journal The Lancet, which used a survey of Iraqi households to estimate about 100,000 Iraqis had died. And, What do you think of this? I mean, would you take your estimates of the body count in Iraq from the media's coverage of this?
Well, absolutely not. And it's very interesting that of course, the Bush administration would choose this drastically lower figure, because one interesting thing about the Iraqi body count methods that they use is they will not count a death unless it's reported on by three different media outlets that are independent of one another. So unless it's a death that's confirmed by three different independent or different media outlets, they don't count it. So it's a very, very strict method of tabulating the deaths, and one can only imagine that the vast majority of people dying in Iraq, these are not deaths being covered by the media.
There have been estimates on the total war dead. This has been going on 14 years. Bombings, sanctions, the war part one and part two, the senior Bush, and we had a little lull there with Clinton, but even though we had no fly zones, we were still flying air missions over there. People were still dying, but not in the amounts that since George Bush Jr. took over, let's call him. But I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around the civilian casualties and, more importantly, the children. Madeleine Albright, a couple of years ago when interviewed, I think it was on 60 Minutes, the number of 500,000 Iraqi children dead, she did not dispute that number. As a matter of fact, she made an inference that, well, that's the cost of war. I mean, it's evidently in the Secretary of State's mind, either this one or Condoleezza Rice, casualties of war, they are certainly not a very politically popular thing to talk about. But her inference was that, hey, 500,000, no big deal. We're getting the job done over there. What has your information pointed to? And of course, we're encompassing depleted uranium, or poisoning, birth defects, actual killings by airstrike, house-to-house searches and seizures in their military police operations. And I'm speaking about the U.S. over there now. What is the most legitimate number that you heard on Iraqi children's deaths?
Well, you bring up a very big and very important topic, because I don't know of anyone that's done total tabulations for the financial cost of starting with the 91 Gulf War on up through the sanctions to the recent war to the current occupation that encompasses financially and then all of the deaths on both sides, all of the injuries on both sides, and the full tallying of the catastrophe of the entire situation, because it's rarely talked about and certainly even less frequently broadcast in the media of how devastating and how long this war has been going on. That essentially this is a nonstop war that started in 1991 and has been going on to this day by the U.S. government against Iraq and the people of Iraq. And if we look at just the sanctions, most conservative estimates I have are that at least 500,000 Iraqi children died as a result of the sanctions. The sanctions with which Dennis Holliday, the former UN individual in charge of the Oil for Food program during the sanctions, who quit in protest, now refers to them as genocidal sanctions. So at least 500,000 children died, as you said. At least 500,000 Iraqi adults died during those periods. At least 100,000 Iraqis were killed during the 91 war. And then now we're looking at potentially 200,000 have died during this current situation.
Wait a minute, Dar. You just threw out a lot of zeros out there. I did not add this up. Run those figures by me again.
Conservatively, during the sanctions, 1 million Iraqis dead. During the 91 Gulf War, the most conservative number I've seen is 100,000. From this occupation, looking at the Lancet report, there's another 98,000, which, as we talked about earlier, could arguably be twice that amount. So we're looking at almost, what is that, about 1.5 million?
This is not a very large populated country. I mean, what do they have over there, 18 million?
25 million.
25 million people. So effectively, we just wiped out a good portion of their country, and for what? To install democracy? Hold on, we'll take the break. We'll come right back. My goodness.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Do you desire to increase your energy levels and relieve your pain and stress without chemicals, drugs, or expensive supplements? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. For those unique, one-of-a-kind holiday items, click on trivortex.com to give those special gifts that will improve health and well-being, as well as amaze and astound. This is Brian David Anderson, researcher and inventor of the Trivortex technology products, wishing you and yours a joyous holiday season.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities, the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. Yeah! That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
So Saddam Hussein, accused of killing, say, 300,000 of his own countrymen, almost half the population wants to vote him back in because they don't like the United States occupation. Is there any other things that you've determined, Dar, that the Iraqis are not enjoying by way of U.S. presence over there?
Well, that's, I think we would need longer than 2 hours to talk about that. It's really, if we look at basically anything in Iraq, whether it be women's rights or the infrastructure, things like electricity, clean water, medical care, the unemployment rate, the amount of oil that's being exported in order to fund the Iraqi government on all levels, everything essentially has gone far worse than it was under the rule of Saddam Hussein.
So in Gulf War One, we kill 100,000 people, and that was basically... we had ground troops over there. They did the mop-up. But this was basically, as Donald Rumsfeld liked to put it in the Gulf War Part 2, the shock and awe. He just expected everybody in Iraq to throw up their hands and say, come on in, America, we'll do whatever you want us to do. that didn't work. But that was majorly an air campaign. And I remember seeing the footage with the smart bombs and everything else going off. I mean, they just they rolled in there and they decimated their armor core. They pretty much blew the snot out of them, and they gave up in short order. But apparently through the wisdom of doing sanctions to that country, which, if I'm not mistaken, Dar, wasn't United Nations involved in that, and didn't they put their stamp of approval on the sanctions?
They did, very much so.
Yeah, so we kill a million people, let's just say. Let's just round it up for, you know, folks. I mean, we're talking about people's lives here. They're not of the same culture. They're not even the same color of skin, but they're people. And we're talking about a million people. So let's just round this up for convenience sake, for conversation, that a million people over there, between what these sanctions and Gulf War Part 2 did. This a million people. People can't, Dar, they can't get their minds wrapped around that kind of a figure. It's easier for them to contemplate the death of a loved one or somebody, a coworker at work, or maybe a car accident that they saw on a highway. But we're talking maybe about up to 1.5 million people dead for installing democracy in Iraq, for whose benefit? Supposedly, through the medias and the Bush White House, well, it's for the Iraqi people. I don't know, Dar, how many people, you know, I don't like the way things are going in this country right now. We've demonstrated as to why they're not going so well, infinitely have done that. But would we accept 1.5 million, 2 million, 5 million, 10 million people dead in this country?
Without a doubt. And I think that's one of the biggest problems here. And I think the majority of the blame lays in the lap of mainstream media by not discussing this, not having this discussion that you and I are having right now, that it's the fact that all of this points directly to the fact that the people in charge of this government right now, as well as so many of them that have been involved in the government over the last 20 years, including as far back as within the Reagan administration, people like Rumsfeld, people like Cheney, for example, these are war criminals. These are the people directly responsible for at least 1.5 million dead Iraqis as a result of the actions of the U.S. government over all of these years.
Well, and we had our little fiasco over there with the Balkans, supposedly that there was two factions over there fighting, and, well, we wanted to give them more political freedom over there. The news media is not reporting on the Balkans. That place is an absolute mess. It wasn't that good before, but now it's an absolute chaotic mess. They've got more joblessness. They've got more drug addiction over there. They've got more crime and corruption than they ever had before. And the news media is conveniently never talk about this wonderful program under the Clinton administration that was done.
That's right. It's exactly. It's really. I'm reluctant to even make too much of a distinction in regards to U.S. foreign policy between the Clinton administration and the current administration. Of course, it's grown far worse and far more blatant now than it was under Clinton. At least Clinton attempted to hide it a bit and at least try to lie about it, whereas at this point it's like, well, this is the policy. We're going to torture. We're going to invade countries, and that's just how it is. And I think it's just so blatant now that anyone not willing to see that is obviously engaged in willful ignorance.
Well, and, you know, let's turn the tables here. We seem to have the ability now to cook up a coalition, either real or imagined, to go gang up on a country that we don't like what they're doing, supposedly under human rights violations and a dictator murdering his own people and whatever the case may be. You know, I'm looking at the body count here, and none of this stuff adds up. In order to make me free, you've got to kill a good majority of my population. In order to make me free, you're going to come over here and give us democracy. In order to make us free, you're going to come over here and steal our oil. In order to make us free, and we could go on and on with this. Now, what has this done? And this is kind of a projection question for you, Dar. What has this done as far as the PNAC people out there, the Project for a New American Century, the brain trust behind this war for peace, I guess you could call it? Has this chilled their plans as far as Iran goes, or maybe moving into Syria or other countries in the Middle East?
I think the situation in Iraq, having gone as bad and as wrong and as off track as it has, because it has certainly slowed them down without argument. That's needless to say, not going out on much of a limb to say that. I think they truly believed a lot of the rhetoric that they personally helped manufacture themselves, the idea that they would roll into Iraq and be welcomed, and Iraqis would happily begin helping them begin to construct their McDonald's and things along this line. But the reality is that they have been dealt devastating blow by the Iraqi resistance and political groups within that country as well. And now the vast majority of Iraqis, of course, want the U.S. the heck out of their country immediately. But I think all that said, I don't think it has necessarily chilled their plans. I think if we look at the saber rattling towards both Syria and Iran, I think, and then looking at the fact that these individuals have three more years in power as things stand right now, unless there isn't a massive shift here at home, they still have plenty of time and capability and willingness to keep pushing their agenda forward.
You know, what's amazing to me that none of the mainstream media is actually addressing the question. I mean, they'll talk about insurgents. And these are people that are gathering together, and they have political affiliations, and they have some of their own ideologies, and they have their own say on how they would like to see things go. But these are the people over there right now killing U.S. soldiers, and are always referred to as being the insurgents. And if we take a closer look at this, these are people that are fighting an occupational force over there. They're viewing the Americans coming in, rolling over their country, blowing the living snot out of it, killing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people over there. And we just keep having the media just refer to them as being the insurgents. Some might call them freedom fighters, but of course, one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist, I suppose. But when we look at the situation, I've never heard the question posed on mainstream media in this country as, do you think us being over there is going to possibly create terrorists or more terrorism?
That's a very good point. I think it's in both of these points that you bring up, actually, that the people fighting against the occupation forces in Iraq, I think it's important to make the distinction between those who are fighting for the liberation, the true liberation of Iraq from occupation, and terrorists, because without a doubt there are terrorist groups now in Iraq, which, again, importantly, as you just hinted at, is that these people were not there in Iraq prior to the U.S. occupation. You did not have car bombs going off every single day in Baghdad under Saddam Hussein. In fact, you never had them going off. You did not have terrorist groups running around freely in the country as you do right now. And, of course, these individuals are very, very different from, and their goals are very, very different from those fighting in Iraq, who more and more are referred to by so many Iraqis as freedom fighters and as Mujahideen and as people who are struggling for the true liberation. And these people are very, very well organized. We didn't have the bloodshed during the or huge rampant bloodshed during the elections on Thursday because they had called a truce. And they just announced today, actually, many of the resistance groups announced today that that truce will be coming to an end and attacks will resume, that they had just declared that truce to allow more Sunni Arabs to participate in the vote. So they're organized. They do have a political arm. And I think it's important for people to distinguish between these individuals and these groups and the terrorists.
Well, and just illustrating just what you just said, if these people are that well organized that they can literally bring these insurgent car bombings and whatever else to a grinding halt to allow more Sunnis to walk into a voting booth over there, we seem to be talking to the wrong people over there.
Without a doubt. And there is actually rumblings now coming out, and even within the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, they've admitted, Khalid has admitted to having talks, that talks have already begun with members in the resistance. But at the same time, we've heard this before. Rumsfeld hinted at this a ways back, and what did we see? Nothing. Obviously, the U.S. administration was not willing to bend to any of the demands being made by the resistance, and I'd be very surprised if we had a different scenario this time.
Well, and but the program is flawed. Because number one, they have, and they've been hinting that they have battalions of Iraqi military over there that are ready to go online to keep their own peace in their country. I don't think that has happened. We've tried to install a police force that's going to be conducive to our aims over there in Iraq. That has not seemed to have really taken hold. Is there any, can you see any good whatsoever with the United States being involved over there in Iraq, whether it was in Gulf War One or Gulf War One Part Two, that Bush conveniently said the war was over a couple of years ago?
No, there's not. The bottom line is, if we are going to boil it down to the basics here, U.S. involvement in Iraq has done nothing but bring death and suffering for the Iraqi people and death and suffering for U.S. soldiers over there as well. And that's what we're seeing right now. There's more U.S. soldiers dying on a daily basis there than ever before. It's over four a day now in recent weeks. And the same goes for Iraqi civilians. They continue to be killed and caught up in all of the bloodshed and violence going on that is a direct result of the U.S. occupation of their country.
The elections, some of the talking points I have here, we've been talking about the elections, and elections in Iraq will most likely lead to a deepening of the strife and the conflict between ethnic and sectarian groups, rather than bringing independence and stability. Who are the groups over there, the ethnic groups and the sectarian groups? If you can break that down for a little better understanding for our audience.
Well, the main ethnic groups that we hear discussed so much, of course, the Kurds are there's a big difference between the Kurdish Iraqis and Arab Iraqis, who, of course, most Sunni and Shia are Arab Iraqis, although there is a smaller Turkmen population. And then the main sectarian divisions within Muslims in Iraq are between Sunni and Shia. Of course, it should be noted, as what isn't usually pointed out in mainstream media either, that the vast majority of the Kurdish population in Iraq are also Sunni Muslim. But the distinction is always made, let's keep the Kurds separate and let's just talk about the Sunni who comprise most of the population of central Iraq, and then the Shia. But then it should also be noted that amongst the Shia, there are two main groups in the Shia now. The one who is the majority by just a little bit is those who follow Grand Ayatollah Sistani, who is in fact an Iranian-born cleric and came to Najaf, Iraq in 1953, and right now has the most representation in the current government, and the political arm of his religious force in Iraq is Abdulaziz al-Hakim, who himself has lived in Iran and himself actually directly personally tortured Iraqis during the Iran-Iraq war. And then the other aspect of the Shia is, of course, those who follow the leader, Muqtada al-Sadr, who is the Shia cleric who's already called two different uprisings against the U.S. military and is vehemently anti-occupation. And the Shia are quite divided then between followers of Sistani and followers of Sadr. And all of this is going to come very much to the forefront now as the power struggle, which is sure to follow this election, is about to begin.
Well, there's a whole lot more I want to go into. Can you stay with us?
You bet.
Okay, great. And we'll open up the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Dar, how long were you in Iraq?
I've spent a total of 8 months there now on four different trips.
And are you going back anytime soon?
Not anytime soon. I definitely plan to go back before next summer, but probably not before then.
How many, I'd seen figures on how many journalists were killed over there, and there seems to be more journalists that were killed over there to present than there was in all of Vietnam.
That's right. If we include journalists and their assistants, there's been at least 80 killed now in Iraq to date.
So how is it that you're able to move around in that country? It's been a total of 8 months. I'm sure that you at times felt for your own safety, but how were you able to survive over there for 8 months?
I operated by essentially under the premise that no security was my security, in that if I went out on the street, grew a beard to try to fit in, dressed as locally as I could, and go around just with my Iraqi interpreter in his car, which is just like any other beat-up car rolling around the streets of Baghdad, and trying to be very low-key and not speaking English in public and not drawing any attention to myself. And in that way, we fit in pretty well and would go about working that way.
Well, I'm sure that you you could probably, Dara. I'm joking, of course, but with every bit of jest, there is a certain amount of logic behind the humor. But it would seem to me that you could probably give classes to the CIA and their operatives over there, because basically what you just performed was a HIPS operation. It was hiding in plain sight.
That's very true.
So you might be getting a call from the CIA going, how did you do that? At any rate, we'll take your calls into the next hour at 800-313-9443, and we'll continue our conversation here with one of the most honest journalism, and I would call you an expert, a journalist. I don't know if there's varying degrees of journalism, but you seem to nail this thing down. You don't seem you seem to have walked into this thing with no really any preconceived notions. You went over there, you talked to the people, you witnessed what was going on, you've gone back several times, and you're the only, so far, you're the only journalist that I've spoke to that has your base of knowledge and what's really going on over there. We'll be right back.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calben Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calben at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calben pure soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091, or on the web at calbenpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big-money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
If maybe this is simplistic on my part, but if our aim in Iraq was to deconstruct Iraq and to install a new regime over there, or their own government, that mission was accomplished. If it was to go get Saddam Hussein and secure him for trial, that has been accomplished. If the insurgents over there that are causing a lot of the damage right now to property, Iraqis and also U.S. soldiers, if they have the ability to do a ceasefire to allow more Sunnis to go in and vote in the local elections over there, well, then it would seem to me that if they have that much power over there, and a lot of the death and destruction could come to an end by these people's hands, then why are we even over there? Why aren't the soldiers, the U.S. soldiers, coming home next week?
Well, that's a very refreshing and clear perspective, because the reality is, of course, again, thanks to the media, because people here in the U.S. Tend to forget what this was supposed to be all about, which is basically what you just laid out very simply. I think now more than ever, Mr. Bush could officially make his mission accomplished statement rather than making this on May 1st of 2003, a wee bit prematurely. But he could certainly make it now, that basically all the goals laid out as to for the justification of this invasion and occupation of Iraq have been met. So what is the reason to stay there at this point? And I think those questions won't be asked by the Bush administration, and they certainly won't allow the corporate media in the U.S. to ask those questions, because simply we know the answer would be, well, that is the case, so it's time to come home. There's no justifiable reason to stay in Iraq a day longer.
Well, there are coalitions over there. The Shia split between the Sistani and the Saders. This split is supposed to occur after the elections. You see any indication of that happening right now?
Not right this second, because these groups were on the same list in order to get into power. The officials of the politicians of the Sistani wing and then Sadr were all on the same list, the Unified Iraqi Alliance. They did this so as to gain a much larger proportion of seats in the parliament, which they certainly will, because they simply have the numbers in so many of the provinces in Iraq, and it was a very good tactic for them to use. But now things will get interesting. That's why I don't really put too much stock in the fact that this election occurred yesterday. There was a relatively low amount of bloodshed. There was quite a high turnout. You can't really judge, as I know I don't need to tell you this, but of course the simple fact of having a bunch of people go and cast their votes on the ground for a day does not make a democracy. All this was a large turnout to vote. Now the real political wrangling will occur, and we will start to see some of these groups start to go after one another, and it's going to be a very treacherous and dangerous time.
Well, and just democracy itself, I mean, what a gift to give a country that has 6,000 years of history. And we're going to give them democracy, which means that the government then shakes hands and firmly grasps corporations over there. And the people get to vote on new faces and new places, and they get to play musical chairs. But basically, what we're talking about is the Iraqi people really losing self-determination over their own fate and their own future. Because now what we've done over there is help to install a government that is absolutely, positively not going to be responsive to the Iraqi people. Pretty fair assessment there?
That's basically it.
All right. Tell you what, we got to take this break. We'll come back on the other side of this. And, folks, I know this is fascinating stuff to you, but I also want your input and your questions of my guest today. 800-313-9443. We'll continue this discussion with Dar Jamail right after this.
In America, we value our liberty. But there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This super government will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stoptheftaa.org and keep America free.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.